Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Garrett.
I'm Corey.
And we are continuing this study of Epaphroditus as this example of others before self. Today we're going to talk about chapter 2, verses 26 and 27 in the middle of this, this section about Epaphroditus. It says this, "Because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow."
Yeah, so verse 26 is just dripping with this others before self idea. He's been longing for you, and the reason he is longing for them is because he was concerned about others. He put others before self. And, you know, he wanted to go and be with them. He wanted to, ultimately we're going to find, he wanted to give them a report and make them feel better. It's not that he was doing this selfishly, like, all right, this hanging out with Paul in a prison is not too good. It's that he was concerned about them more so than he was himself, which when we get into the context of this a little bit more, is really impressive that he was putting others before self.
Yeah. When you talk about others before self, it would be very logical for Epaphroditus to be distressed because of him, because of his sickness, because of the level of his sickness. There's a number of things that he could be distressed or nervous or anxious about, whatever word you want to use there. But it's very telling of Epaphroditus' character that of all the things he was distressed over, he was distressed because the Philippian church was worried about him. Like that's the thing that he chose to be so nervous about. Wasn't distressed about himself, but was distressed because they had heard that he was sick. Well, they're probably worried about me, you know, and so I got to get better, not for myself, but because they're worried about me, you know.
Yeah.
It's a testament to his character and his priorities, what he was invested in, you know, not about himself, but about, you know, other people and what they were worried about.
Yeah. And that's especially insightful when you get to the idea that he talks about next, about that he was longing for them because he had been through all of these distresses. And it wasn't really the distresses that caused him this problem as much as it was, you know, the fact that they were what it was doing to them, not really what it was doing to him. The word just means to be in anxiety, to be distressed, to be troubled, something of that nature. It's actually the same root word as the word for Hades or the netherworld. It's kind of like saying he was living through Hades on earth, if we could say that without hurting our rating on the podcast. But, you know, the idea is that, I mean, it wasn't just like it was uncomfortable or unpleasant. It was really, really bad. Hades is, of course, not only the word for like the nether world, we might say, but for like the grave. And it just shows just how sick, which is ultimately what he's going to get to, just how sick that he was in the fact that, you know, he was putting his life literally at risk. You know, you think back to A Few Good Men, danger. Yes. Grave danger. Is there any other kind? Well, he was in grave danger, literally, because of what was going on. And he's going to talk about that in verse 27. But that, you know, he was more concerned about their worry for him than the condition that he had, because even though he's distressed, he's been distressed because you heard that he was ill. It wasn't the sickness that made him have the distress, even though it was so serious.
That would have been.
It was because of them.
Yeah, and he goes on to talk about the degree in verse 27. Indeed, he was sick to the point of death. So again, talking about the grave, you know, he was on his deathbed here. But God had mercy on him, and he also had mercy on Paul. He'll go on to say, it's interesting to think about maybe that God had mercy on him, and maybe why Paul didn't just heal him or something to that effect.
Yeah, well, why didn't Paul just use the gift of the Holy Spirit to heal? Well, the reason was because that wasn't the purpose of that gift. It was one of those gifts that was given to confirm the word, to authenticate revelation, and not for selfish interests. And if he had died, Paul would have sorrow on top of sorrow. He was already concerned about the churches. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about the anxiety that he had, the worry, the stress that he had about, you know, his concern for the churches and where they were at. Epaphroditus' death would have added to that stress that Paul had. And so why not? Well, that wasn't the purpose of healing, was to, if the purpose of the healings that Jesus or the apostles or whoever did was to end sickness or sorrow from sickness and death, then it failed because there's still sickness and death.
Well, and you don't see the, you know, miracles being used for, you know, personal benefit. And if they were, there is so many examples we could think about where Paul would use miracles on himself. You know, if it was the case that we're just using miracles to prevent suffering or sorrow, then there's a lot of other places that Paul could have already been using miracles where he chose not to. But in a group of Paul and Epaphroditus, there's no question about their message coming from God or their faith in God, and so that's not the place for miracles. But God still chose, he does say in verse 27, God still chose to have mercy on him. he had mercy on Epaphroditus because he got to live. His health was restored, and he's back to, at some level, his health. But it also points out that he had mercy on Paul so that he would not have sorrow upon sorrow. He obviously has sorrow in that the Philippian church is not where they're supposed to be. And he's in a sorrowful state because they're not getting along with one another. And he says, what would make it really even worse is if on top of that, Epaphroditus passes. I'm sure it's undoubtedly so that Paul's looking at a congregation who is suffering from a lack of humility and putting others before self. And in the midst of that, he's looking at one of his friends that's likely from Philippi that's worried about the church, even though he's on his deathbed. He's worried about them. And he's got this, you know, sick example in front of him of others before self. And so it would have been even worse on him if that example died in the midst of all this going on. But he says, in that way, God had mercy on Paul as well.
And that's what makes him the fourth example that Paul would use of others before self, is that not only was Epaphroditus putting Paul before himself and that he was literally serving him to the point that he about put himself in the grave, but he was also, even at that point, he was more concerned about other people, you know, and than he was himself and how it was affecting them, more so than how it was affecting him. Again, just another great example of what we all ought to have is be more concerned about others rather than, you know, what does this do to me, or how does this look on me, or how does it, you know, but what's it doing to others, and how can I, you know, bear some of that sorrow for them or bear some of that trouble for them and help them get through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a living example, and one that would have resonated very closely with the Philippian church. It's very indicative of their relationship that Epaphroditus' immediate thought was, you know, I wonder what they're thinking about me and if they're worried about me. So there had to be some sort of connection there. And so he uses that example to say, hey, remember our brother here, and the example that he had of others before self, and how that you can imitate that as well. I hope that this study has can inspire all of us to also implore the same mentality that Epaphroditus had, of choosing to put others before self and serving one another as we should, having the same humble attitude that he did whenever he was walking the earth. We hope we're thankful for your dedication and your time with us today as we study through this book of Philippians. We'll continue our study of Epaphroditus next time on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.